In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Merry Christmas. On behalf of Father Boulding, Father Thomas, the whole parish staff, I want to wish all of you a very blessed Christmas. I do see that there's a number of you standing in the back. If you prefer to stand, that's fine, but there's a lot of empty seats, very front row. Not too long ago, I was visiting the house of a parishioner, and they had some magazines on the coffee table, and an article kind of caught my eye. It said, "The future ain't what it used to be." And I said, "Oh, must be an article about Jesus." So I grabbed the magazine and opened it up, and it was all about semiconductors and the microchip and how the future of electronics has changed so drastically from where it had been. But I thought, well, that would be a great title for an article about Jesus. If you imagine the state of the world for anyone, it's difficult for me to imagine somebody that doesn't have faith in Jesus Christ. And what do they do when life is full of troubles and confusion without having that guiding light, something to govern, guide our lives? But you think about the whole world before it knew Jesus, before it knew its redemption, the world was in a kind of darkness, which is why we hear in the first reading, you know, people who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light, something that brings understanding and wisdom into that darkness. And it's difficult to think, to imagine what it was like for people in their minds before Jesus. What did they think about, you know? And then when Jesus came into the world, the soul could feel its worth. You think about how much you are loved, how much you are worth. You are worth Jesus coming into the world to redeem you. There's a homily done by a famous Pope Leo the Great, where he says to Christians everywhere, "Christian, remember your dignity. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son." And the greatest compliment of all of humanity is that God chose to become one of us so that he could become one with us. And this is the joy that we celebrate at Christmas. A couple years ago, I was reading something that Pope Benedict wrote. He was reflecting on a painting of the Nativity. And this particular painting was common, the style was common during the Renaissance. And that was rather than picturing the Nativity in a stable, it was a broken down castle. And so the painting had a broken down castle. The ceilings had caved in, the walls were crumbling, and it was just the ruin of what was once a beautiful, proud structure. And there in the midst of that ruin was Joseph, Mary, and the child Jesus. And Pope Benedict, when he was reflecting on this image, he was saying that this castle is humanity that used to have such great dignity, made in the image and likeness of God, and before the fall knew God personally, could walk with God. Adam and Eve had such a dignity to be able to be with God in paradise. But then it all came down. When Adam and Eve sinned against God and disobeyed God, and they were ejected from that paradise, it was like this beautiful castle became crumbling down, and now it was nothing but a ruin. And so it was into this ruin that Jesus comes to restore, to rebuild, and to give us new dignity, new worth. You know, we might think of our first dignity. We are made in God's image and likeness. But now there was one of us, Jesus, who is God. And so divinity has touched humanity in a way that it had never has before. And so there's a great dignity now in all who bear the name Christian. We may live in a throwaway culture where when something breaks, rather than get it fixed anymore, we tend to just go ahead and throw it away. But God didn't have that attitude with us. Rather, he wanted to come and redeem us. The joy of Christmas is that God loves us so much. When we think about God's desire to redeem us, is that God came searching for man who was hopelessly lost and would never find its way back home. And God came in search of man. And so Christmas, the birth, the incarnation, is God searching for and finding humanity. One of my favorite saints, who I want to quote here in just a minute, is Saint Augustine. Saint Augustine, he was kind of wild. He had gone after all sorts of philosophies, looking at all sorts of religion, and he was searching and searching for God. He had such a hunger to learn or to find God, and he would go from one philosophy to another, and he was never satisfied. Until one day, he met another famous saint, Saint Ambrose. Saint Ambrose told him, "You've got it all wrong, my friend. You're searching for God without, but God is inside. You have to allow God to come inside. You have to allow God to find you, to open the door as he knocks and let him enter." And St. Augustine was really moved by these words of St. Ambrose, and he began to have a great conversion. And it brought him then into the Catholic Church. And in one of probably his most famous work, The Confessions of St. Augustine, he writes about what he felt like when he began to open the door to his heart and invited God to come in and fill him, rather than try to take control and go out and search and, you know, grab God. He allowed God to come and find him. And listen to these words that he wrote. "I came to you late, O beauty so ancient and so new. I came to love you late. You were within me and I was outside, where I rushed about wildly, searching for you, like some beast loose in your beautiful world. You were with me, but I was not with you. You called me. You shouted to me. You wrapped me in your splendor. You broke past my deafness. You bathed me in your light. You sent my blindness reeling. You gave out such a delightful fragrance, and I drew it in and came breathing harder after you. I tasted, and it made me hunger and thirst. You touched me, and I burned to know your peace. The good news of Christmas is that if your life is a wreck, Jesus wants to bring healing and divine order. He wants to renew you. Jesus is waiting there all along for us to open the doors and allow him to enter, present always in his church and in the sacraments. I pray that this Christmas we would all open wide the doors to our hearts and let Jesus in and find us and renew us. Amen.